Nate, you can do the honors.
All right. Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast.
Hey.
This week we're talking about a Francis Ford Coppola movie about
Yes.
listening.
And it's not Megalopolis, unfortunately.
And it's not.
I will be shocked if by the end of I don't know. I feel like at some point we're going to watch that movie because it has so many actors in it. Like I kind of want to pull the trigger and watch it again, but
I thought about it, but like I couldn't even make it through the whole thing. And we've been in some deep water, and like I don't know that I could subject anybody to that. Like I
I mean,
honestly,
yeah,
out of grave concern, like we would
it's a
lose Alec
real
forever.
it's a real Southland Tales conundrum. But you know, the funny thing is that I think the only reason that I made it through is because I saw it in the theater. And like I have a as
Yeah,
much as I
no,
hate a movie, I have a
God
real
bless
hard
you,
time.
sir.
As much as I hate a movie sometimes, I have a real hard time like leaving a movie that I paid to see. So like I just stuck it out. And
Happened
I don't
one
think I've
time in my
walked out.
life.
I walked out of The Fifth Element and then I
You
came
know what?
back.
I was up for 27 straight hours, so I walked out of Milk Money halfway through and fell asleep in the car.
What was Milk Money? I don't remember
Ooh.
that.
Melanie Griffith. Melanie Griffith is like a she's a sex worker who goes is like the
Befriends like
kid's
Ed Harris?
And then she's like show and tell for this kid in his elementary school
What a
class.
weird movie. What,
I
Sean,
believe
wasn't
I saw that with a man.
I think the doesn't the kid hire her and then Ed Harris falls in love with her?
I gotta watch this. Wasn't Melanie Griffith in that weird ass Abel Ferrara movie with the serial killer karate guy? Fear
I think
City? Isn't
so.
that her?
Oh, fucking shit. What the
Fear
fuck is that
City.
movie called? We loved it.
Fear City. Yeah, that movie rocks. All
Fear
right, so
City,
yeah,
bitch.
we watched The Conversation, a movie I haven't seen since I was like 19. It's affectionately known as the TJ hasn't seen it because I haven't watched it in over 20 years. Because like, I got to be honest with you, fellas, my memory is pretty bad. It's getting worse every year. So like, it was almost like a new viewing experience for me. Because I guess this isn't really a spoiler, but I remembered Harrison Ford dying in this movie, and he does not die in this movie.
No.
He lasts. Yeah, I
No.
for some reason I thought he died. Also,
This whole movie is like the Paralys subquest from Cyberpunk.
Actually, yeah, it is.
Holy shit.
Also,
Good call.
Harrison Ford, like young Harrison Ford, like is devastatingly handsome. Like,
Bro. I was watching a little clip about him. It popped up on TikTok or something. Some woman was like, she's with Bill Simmons, like fuck him anymore. But
oh God, that
yeah,
guy.
she was like this writer that he dated. It's like he one thing about Harrison, he could fuck. He could either fuck nine women a day or one woman nine times a day. I know from personal experience.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, he's like, I don't know, like one of my favorite actors, but like, I don't know. He's just like, it's cool to see him in this. And like, I don't know, you know,
Him
he was,
attempting.
yeah. And like, I love him now because he
I
hates
think
like
Alec and
Star
I
Wars so much.
have had this experience with that. What Alec? What's the show where he's the therapist? What's that called?
Drinking.
Shrinking. He's like
Yeah.
so fucking good in that show. Like it's like, oh my God, this guy's
You can
so good.
tell
I
he has
forgot.
material he gives a shit about, and he like tries
Honestly,
hard
dude.
times.
Well,
Hard
the
time.
trivia about
Far time.
the trivia about him
Yeah.
in the conversation is he's playing this character gay,
Oh, I didn't know that.
and
I
I didn't pick that up at
Yeah, I
all.
didn't pick
Yeah,
that
because
up at all.
he bakes his own cookies, which is something that
Oh,
he
yeah.
like he improvised a lot of the stuff that his character does in this movie because he was just supposed to be like there for the one scene to get the tapes and not get the tapes. But he talked to Coppola and was like, I want to do more with this and I want to play him like this and let's see what we can do. So
Oh,
he's
that's
supposed to be
interesting.
gay queer coded for the whole movie.
All right,
Is
Francis, give me
this
some
before or
sugar and some
after?
eggs and some flour. I'm making some fucking cookies for the crew.
I love the idea that making a cookie is code
This
for homosexuality.
is,
Was this
well, it was
before
the
or
70s.
is this before or after American Graffiti? It's got to be after, right? Yeah, this is
After,
after.
yeah.
What
I
year
mean,
is this?
this is 74. So this is even before Apocalypse, or this is before Apocalypse Now.
Well, no, I meant because
So.
Harrison Ford, that's his first movie, I think, is American Graffiti. I thought it was. Maybe it's this. Or I guess so, it depends on what year it came out because Star Wars is 77. So this is 74, you said?
Yeah, this is
Yeah.
74.
Man, they used
I'm
to make
looking
good
up
movies in the fucking 70s.
Oh yeah, it might,
Yeah,
so
American Graffiti is
American Graffiti
73, so it's just
73.
a
So
year
yeah.
before. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into what we watched. So I'm gonna start with Alec since he wasn't here last week.
I haven't been here in
Alec,
like a month.
yeah, you haven't been here in a little while.
Yeah.
What did you miss? I think you would have liked The Quick and the Dead. That was one of the episodes I wish you were on. I feel like you would have enjoyed that film. It was a lot of fun. I know you don't like Westerns, but it was Sam Raimi enough where I feel like you might have liked that movie. It was a lot of fun.
Was my March. Yeah. In honor of Gogs, who has the worst March.
Gogs' Marge is so bad, it kind of spins around to being good again. Over here, Funky. I mean, mine's bad too. Like, I Marge is like an impossible voice.
Yeah, but you don't keep trying. You just
No, that is true. Yeah, no, I don't even attempt, so.
here's your lemonade. Here, your
Here's
beer.
your beer.
Ugh.
It's funny because what's the actress's name? Julie
Julie Kavner.
Kavner.
That's like just how she talks. That's not like a put-on voice.
Like my favorite bit of Gog's lore is his like inability to do common impressions, but his like unique ability to do these really intricate impressions that I'll never understand it.
That is very true. So Alec, what did you watch over the last
I watched a
month?
whole bunch of stuff. Like, I can't talk about all of it. There's just not enough time.
Because
I need an
you're under
episode
you're,
just to talk about.
oh, I thought you were under NDAs.
Yeah. My other movie podcast maybe sign an NDA that I can't talk about stuff I've watched on this one anymore. You have to wait 3 years for it to run out.
You got on one of those like sponsored ones, like Screen Rant or one of those other like comic ones that like their ads come up on TikTok and it's like the hottest new movie and it's like, oh, okay.
So some of these were watched on a cruise ship, some of them not, some of them back home. Just been a while. Some bangers. Actually, most of them were bangers. There really wasn't anything that was terrible. Jurassic Park, bagger.
Oh yeah.
That
Amazing movie.
movie fucking rocks. Galaxy Quest, banger.
Hell
That
yeah.
movie fucking rocks. I love whenever I see people talk about it on TikTok and they agree with me that it's the best Star Trek movie.
Yeah, it's
Except for
great.
maybe Wrath of Khan. But it's such a good Star Trek movie. It's better than 95% of them
Definitely.
that have come out.
What about the one with Tom
Although
Hardy?
That one
That one's really bad.
so bad.
Talk about something that's on the
I'm going to
theater.
stand on the opinion that the first Star Trek movie is the best movie, the motion picture. I know everybody hates it.
I
I kind of
don't
like
like.
that. I
I think it's
kind of
just too
like
long. That's the only flaw with it,
Yeah.
really. Like,
The one I
it's
remember the most is the one with the whales. That's like four, I
four,
think.
yeah.
I
Is that
remembered
the.
that. Like, it's terrible, but I remember it more than anything.
Is
Well,
the
it's
one with the
fun because they
whale.
travel back to contemporary San Francisco and goof
Is
on
the one with the
stuff.
whale the one where they find God? Isn't that
No,
one?
that's
That's
the fifth
six
one.
or five.
Oh,
Yeah, that's
six,
five.
five, yeah.
And
That's the
then
one
there's
Shatner directed. That's the worst one.
Yeah, because that's the one where
Then
Shatner's
there's
like, I'll talk to
God.
God and tell God that he's not God, and that's how cool I am.
It should have turned out to be Q.
That would have been
Yeah.
great.
Shout out to Q.
Anyway, there's three new ones. Well, two of the three new ones are good. The third new one is excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I love Star Trek Beyond. That shit was awesome.
But yeah, Galaxy Quest rocks. John Tucker Must Die does not rock. But
Think I've
we
ever seen that.
yeah,
I
it's over
believe
again.
that movie was based on a book that was written by one of the Simpsons writers, if I've
Oh
got my
wow.
lore
Oh
correct.
really?
No way.
Yeah.
When we went on the cruise last summer, there was tons of on-demand choices. This cruise was not. You basically they had a TV and it was just whatever was on, here's what's on.
Oh, it's like watching TV in the
Oh
90s. You're
God,
like,
it
oh,
was
yeah.
yeah, 90% of it was terrible. We did get to watch a show called Shipping Julia. There was a Royal Caribbean produced show all about teenagers finding love on their ship.
Oh, that's awesome. Everyone's
Oh,
got content now. Even the fucking
yeah,
cruise ship has
Royal
content.
Caribbean content.
That's fucking amazing.
Watch Sonic 3. It's
Oh.
fine. It's pretty good. Like, these movies are slowly. It's kind of repetitive. Like the first one's a lot of fun. The second one's still fun. This one's just kind of more
The
the
third one
same.
has Shadow in it. Shadow the
Yep.
Hedgehog. Yeah.
Yes.
Does he have a gun like he does in the
No.
video games?
Does
That's a
he make
shame.
references to Latinas?
Yeah.
No. But it is Keanu Reeves.
I like that. That's fun.
But it's like the same movie as the first two. You get the movie, and then there's a stinger where they introduce one new character for the next one. Like the first
They
movie
in
had
is
Tails, the
it
second
pregnant
one.
Sonic?
Oh,
Yeah.
God. I wish.
Is it Sonichu? That would now that would be something.
The one they introduced after this one, I like, is beyond my knowledge of Sonic. It's a female who's pink.
Amy. It's Amy.
Okay.
I already knew. Like I here's the thing, dude.
I
I've
know it because
played
of Chris Chan. I don't actually know
yeah.
it because of Sonic.
I it's funny because I think I've played like maybe I played the original Genesis games and then I played Sonic Adventure that was on Dreamcast, and that was it. That's all I've ever played. But like I know way too much Sonic lore, and it's kind of embarrassing. Like I know all the
Kind
characters. I
of.
don't yeah.
Yeah,
TJ, did you know? Oh, sorry, Alec, go ahead.
I was gonna say I only played like the original couple of games on Genesis. I never
Yeah,
played
same.
anything beyond that.
TJ, did you know that Keanu Reeves and China Melville wrote a book together?
I had no idea. Is
Yeah.
it any good?
I have no idea. I saw it at the bookstore today. I picked it up and then I was like, oh yeah, reading, and I put it down.
Good for you.
Got a whole store dedicated
Was a
to it.
close call.
They
Was it
also
like
have
a,
Funko
was it
Pops,
like
so
a
you
ex
can.
exposure therapy?
Yeah, they also have Funko Pops in case you really needed a Funko Pop of fucking Ted Lasso's boss.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
I went into a whatever the I forget what the name of it is, the one that's in Arundel Mills Mall, and I was kind of Books a Million
Yeah,
maybe. I
Books
don't
a Million.
know.
I like that place.
I'm kind of shocked at how expensive books are. It's like a paper. I was looking to get one of the Nick Cutter books, and it was like the paperback was like $26. I was like, what in the
Yeah.
fuck?
Yep.
Like, good
Yeah. All the
night.
printing costs have gone up like crazy lately.
Yeah.
I've had to raise the prices on our books,
I was
pretty
like,
much across the board because,
and I
yeah.
mean, with the copious amounts of ways that I can get books for free illegally, like, or just legally, like through like the library app and stuff, it's just like, well, why would I spend the money on this? Like, I can just read it at home. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway,
Books
anything
a
else there?
Million, I don't know if they still do. They used to have a tremendous graphic novel selection.
Yeah,
They used to have a
it's still
killer, it
pretty
was like a
good.
full like aisle. Like it would take a long time to get through it all.
They have a very good graphic novel section. They have a very impressive manga section, but again, manga is incredibly expensive. Like the
And
little
that used
tiny,
to be
that
super
was like
cheap.
the,
That was
it
why it
was,
was so popular.
yeah. And like, I, like they, Viz just put out, they've reprinted all the original Fist of the North Stars.
Oh
And
yeah.
like, oh, that's kind of cool. And they're like nice editions. They're like hardback and everything, but they're $40 a piece. And it's like, Jesus.
Bro, I was looking at the Criterion discs at fucking Barnes and Nobles. I was like,
Oh
oh,
yeah.
Lost Highway, I'll get that. 50 Earth dollars
That's
for a
insane.
Blu-ray.
That's
Yeah,
crazy.
50 bucks,
It's like
or
the
you can
steel
just,
book.
yeah, that
No,
it's just
well, it's in
Criterion,
the
so
Criterion. Yeah. The
yeah.
Criterion, whatever. Yeah.
Or you can just watch it on the
Hyperion.
Plex, yeah. So I don't know. I it's one of those things where it's like I get like everything's so expensive now, but like I don't know. It really like it makes it harder not to pirate things because it's so easy to pirate things. And this shit is just so expensive. It's just, I don't know. It sucks. I want to be the guy that supports physical media, but they don't make it easy.
I watched the new Amazon movie, Heads of State,
Oh, with
starring
John Cena.
John Cena and Idris Elba
I like both of those guys.
and I'm blanking on her name. The woman who's in all the shit. She's from Fall of the House of Usher. She's in all that guy's stuff. The older lady, Carla Gugino.
Oh, I love
Uh-huh.
her. She's
Great.
great.
That movie's a fucking blast. Like, it is all gas, no brakes. Just like it knows it's really stupid and it fucking leads them to it 1,000,000%. It's a lot of fun. It has a killer soundtrack. Jack Quaid has a nice little cameo in it. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I
That's
recommend
fun.
it. It's a blast. Patty Considine is the villain. I feel like Patty Considine is in like every Amazon movie right now. Like he must have a contract with them, but he's not super famous, so it's a weird contract.
I'll have to check it out. I mean, I love Cena, and I think him and Idris Elba have great chemistry. Like, they were great in the Suicide Squad. I thought they played off each other very well.
Watch Death of a Unicorn.
Oh, how was
Oh,
that? That
yeah.
looked interesting.
It's not bad. It's not great. It's not terrible though. It's
Okay.
a interesting premise. Paul Rudd's good. The girl, Jenna
Jenna Ortega.
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 Yeah, she's really good. Taylor Leone's in it, and who's seen her do anything
Didn't even know.
recently at
Yeah,
all?
forgot all about her.
Uh,
Well, not
she's in
David
it.
Duchovny.
And
Burn.
why am I blanking? The guy from the kid from We're the Millers. I'm blanking on his name. I know his name.
Oh, the kid from the kid, he was also in Midsommar and
Yeah,
that guy. Yeah, I can't think of his
blonde
name.
kid. I don't know why
He's
I'm drawing a blank.
Adam whatever from
I can't think of his fucking name.
Guardians 3.
Yes, yeah,
He's
no, I
Will
can't think of that
Poulter.
character's name. Will
Yeah, Will
Poulter, that's
Poulter.
his name.
Yeah.
He's in it. He's really good. The Richard Jenkins, is that his name? He played
Yeah.
old Loki in the Loki show.
Oh, I like that
Yeah,
guy, yeah.
Richard Jenkins is great.
He's in it. It's not outstanding, but it's not bad. It's an interesting little tale. I liked it. I'd give it a recommend. We started watching The Legend of Ochi, but then TJ's server shut down, so we couldn't finish it.
I'm sorry.
So at some point I'll finish that. Go most of the way through, and it was like fine. It reminded me of a lot of other movies without as strong of a lead, but it was fine.
Other movies.
Yep, lots of movies. Watched E.T. the Extraterrestrial,
Oh
which
shit. How does that hold
was
up?
it the one with the guns or the one with the
Oh,
walkie-talkies?
I didn't even notice.
Okay.
I'm gonna get walkie-talkies because I didn't notice guns.
Right on.
That is an absolute banger. That movie terrified me as a kid, and I did not like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie since I was a child, so I wonder
Movie
how.
is tremendous. Steven Spielberg used to be a genius. I had no idea. It holds the record for longest continual theatrical release in a theater in over a year.
Really?
Oh,
Wow.
and it was the highest grossing movie of all time until Jurassic Park came along. So it held that title for like 12 years, which
It's one of
is.
the it's like Cal Ripken streak too, because they don't keep anything in the theater anymore, so like that record is never going to be broken.
It's gonna be there forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. It
Nice.
was good. Those idiots at M&M's blew a huge marketing
Right,
thing.
because they were like, we're not interested. Talk
They
to
were
Reese's.
offered the role of the candy, and they said, "No, we don't think this movie's gonna do good. It's gonna scare kids."
I
And
didn't
then
know
Reese's
that. I
Pieces
had no
made
idea.
$1 billion off of
That's so
it.
funny. I
They
didn't
still
know
make
that.
money off of it. They still do ET
Oh.
shit sometimes.
I
I
mean, I
didn't
feel
know.
like my interest in Reese's Pieces came solely from E.T., where I was like, oh, I have to have that candy.
And now they're the best candy ever.
They're really good.
Solid candy. Very good candy.
Finally got to see Superman.
Nice.
What'd you
Yeah.
think? I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was really good. I'm curious to see where the Gunverse goes. Gunverse? But God, I can't get away from the Snyder Bros everywhere. It's
I know.
infuriating.
It's especially like the discourse on that film on TikTok is like so infuriating, because like for every person that like loved it, there's some like just person that's being completely disingenuous about the movie, like talking about shit that's not in it, and they're like, Superman's weak. It's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, well, you know, he's not masculine enough. And it's like, what are you talking? Like, I don't know. Like, all the critiques I've seen of the movie, like, and the movie's not perfect, right? Like, there's things to criticize, but like the things people are picking on are like, you're like in a cult of Zack Snyder. You just love Zack Snyder so much. You're just like, this is terrible. It's like, I can't imagine being about like that on anything. Like, it's such a weird take. I don't understand
Well,
it.
they're kind of in a place of like they can't appreciate a Superman they don't kind of want to fuck.
I guess I
Or
don't
get
know.
fucked by. Like
I
I
think
mean, like Henry
I think
Cavill
it.
is an especially handsome man. No,
No doubt there.
doubt. But like, yeah.
And like I don't know, like I don't think, like we've talked about this on the show a million times, how like movies that like kind of come out and aren't appreciated get like this state of reevaluation 10 years later. And I feel like Man of Steel has gotten the opposite, where like I think people initially kind of thought like, it was okay. And we had this on the show, right? Like we watched it on the show, and I remember like not hating it, and then we rewatched it. I was like, oh, this is garbage. Like this is not good at all. Like it's getting the opposite. So I don't know. I sent it to Sean. There's some guy, I think it's his first like YouTube video. He makes this long essay about how it doesn't work and why it doesn't work. And like he pointed out stuff that I didn't even think of when I watched it. I was like, oh yeah, he's completely right. But
The only part of that movie that I remember being like really rapt about was the beginning, because it was like, oh, we're doing a long burn on the Krypton thing. Like, okay,
yeah.
cool. I'm interested in that. But by the time we get to Earth and everything starts going where it's going, it's like, well, this is just dour crybaby bullshit. Like, I don't
Well,
want to
also,
watch
like
this.
the YouTube video points this out, like they talk about on Krypton, they talk about how they have the ability to go to other planets. So they're just too stupid to just not go to another fucking planet while they're mining the planet's resources. It's like, oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, 'cause he says, like, you know, in our history, we went out into space and did this and did that. So why didn't they do it again? Like they just
Yeah.
let the planet fucking
Go find
explode.
a planet that's got the same resources, or
Also,
to
they
find a new place to live.
also the way that they structured Krypton and like Kryptonians is they did kind of the Aldous Huxley like Brave New World thing, where everyone is like genetically bred for like a specific purpose. So like these people that are the protectors of Krypton are just completely inane and stupid. They don't understand how to protect Krypton, so they destroy it. Like I don't know, it's just not written very well. David S. Goyer is not a very good writer. And I would go so far as to say that the handful of things that he's been involved with, he's always had like a helping hand. Like he co-wrote Dark Knight, you know, and he co-wrote Batman Begins. It's like he's always had somebody, but the only thing he did on his own that was solid is Blade. Like
Yeah.
everything
Well, and
else
a
that he has
co-writing
done is.
credit doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could mean like I took the first pass at the script and they rewrote it after, and
Yeah,
because they kept
true.
one "the" that I had in there originally,
Yeah, it's
you
very
know.
true. Anything else, Alec?
No, I did watch a Lifetime movie that was directed by Danny Boyle,
Oh
but turns out it's not
shit.
the same Danny Boyle.
Oh.
Danny S. Boyle. I
Oh
got really
shit.
excited and I was like, this
That's
doesn't have his trademark great
funny.
directing.
David S. Oh, that's hilarious.
But that's it, TJ.
I watched two things.
Two things.
And one of them is tabled because Nate watched it. So I'll
That's
get
right.
into the other movie I watched. And I always forget this guy's name. So let me look it up real quick. I should have done it while I was waiting for my turn. His name is Kurosawa, but it's not the Akira Kurosawa.
Not that course.
No. Hold on. What is his first name? I've been really into this guy's movies. I've been trying to watch like all of them. His name is Kiyosha Kurosawa. So he made this horror movie called Pulse that I really like. Don't ever watch the American remake. It's
The
terrible.
American is terrible, yeah.
But he made a movie I talked about. He's made a couple of movies that I've talked about on the show. He made that movie called Charisma that I thought was like really interesting. He made a movie called Cure, which I think is like a fucking masterpiece. And then he made this movie that I watched last night that's called Retribution. And it stars the same guy as Cure. The actor, he's also in that Perfect Days movie that came out a couple years ago by Wim Wenders, how do you say his name? It's amazing. It's like Retribution is like this very strange like police procedural about a serial killer. And then it turns into this kind of psychological horror movie, like almost like a Silent Hill-esque kind of psychological horror movie. And where it goes by the end of it is so fucking insane. And like I love this guy's style and the way he writes and the way he like chooses sets is interesting, which is like a critique I don't think I've ever said about another filmmaker. Like there's this part in the movie where the lead detective who's looking into this serial killer, like
he keeps finding evidence on the crime scenes that like he did it. So he's having like this crisis of conscience where like, did he do it or did he not do it? And he goes to see this psychiatrist, and like the psychiatrist's office is in this weird, like dilapidated building. And just like, there's just this sense of like dread and isolation throughout the entire film that's never like expressly pointed out. But the movie takes place in Tokyo, which is, you know, a huge city filled with people. But like, there's almost no people in this movie. Like, that alone makes it kind of surreal and interesting. The acting is fantastic. The fucking moments where there's like this ghost that shows up are just like horrifying. I don't know how he shot this woman, but it almost looks like when she's like kind of has this like ethereal quality, but it almost looks like they filmed her like underwater, but she's like, what, because her hair kind of like flows around, and like it's just very creepy. And the way they always frame her is like super, like it just makes you like, it's my favorite kind of horror, because like it just, it's not graphic or violent, but it just makes you feel like uneasy. And I said it on my letterbox, because like his movies have this over, at least the handful that I've seen have this overwhelming sense of just being like the most depressing things ever. It is like nihilistic to a point. Like the end of Charisma literally ends with like the end of the world. And I would argue that Cure and this movie kind of end in the same way. And like, I don't know, there's a line that towards the end of the movie, not really spoiling it if you don't know the context, but like this spirit, this like vengeful spirit, basically is like, well, I was killed, so now everyone has to die. And it's just so fucking like, it's, I loved it. I highly recommend Retribution. I recommend all this guy's movies, because like so far, everything I've seen from him, he's got a new movie out that just came out. It's called Cloud. I was gonna watch that, but it's 45 minutes longer than Retribution, so that's why I watched Retribution, because I was already tired and I was like, I don't feel like watching a 2 hour 12 minute movie. But I love this guy's stuff. I can't say enough good things about this guy. He's quickly becoming like one of my favorite directors, because like there's just something about his style that really grabs me. And again, it's just this uneasiness throughout the whole movie, because you're just like, you feel like you're going to die when the movie is over. Like it's just, it like transcends the film and goes into your brain, and you just think about it. And all his endings are kind of weird and open-ended, and like this one ends like very strange, and you're just like, I don't know, I was just thinking about it all last night as I was, after I was watching it. Very, very good movie. Highly recommended. Also, like, I don't know if this is just the version that I got or this is how it's shot, but it's very like lo-fi, kind of grimy. Like I got the 1080 Blu-ray of it, but like it still looked like something that was shot in the 90s. Like it's got this very kind of cold, just over, again, oh, just oppressive visuals. And again, like if you're a fan of, without spoiling anything, if you're a fan of the psychological horror of, say, a Silent Hill 2, this is very Silent Hill. Like without being like in your face about it, I, like I said, his movies are amazing. This movie was fantastic. I highly recommend it. And I will pass the mic over to Nate, since we have a tabled thing in common.
Yes, we have a tabled thing. I watched seven things,
Oh my
so I
God.
will run through them as quickly as possible.
Sure.
I watched 1999's Election, which I had not seen.
Oh, I
I don't
like
think
that
I ever
movie.
actually saw it.
Oh, wow.
And it's a movie that's basically about the internalized misogyny that we have, where it's just like, oh, this girl is ambitious, so we can destroy her. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the movie. I think it's good, but I think it's problematic in a lot of ways. And Matthew Broderick's like, low key great doing Matthew Broderick, but also
It's
he's a total scumbag, so
Kirsten Dunst, if I remember correctly,
it's
right? She...
what's her
No, it's
face?
the girl from Legally
Reese
Blonde.
Witherspoon.
Yes.
Yes.
Reese Witherspoon. Yep.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon. Yeah,
And Chris Klein.
that's another movie I had the misfortune of watching with my mother, when somebody turns to somebody talking about a teenage girl and goes, "Her pussy gets so wet."
Yeah, because this movie is about like a teacher who like seduces and fucks her, and then he loses his job, and then basically Matthew Broderick's mad at her the whole movie for that happening, but then he
But
goes and tries to cheat with that guy's wife.
they're
It's
both kind of the villain somehow, though.
yeah. I mean, she's. I think on this watch, like, I really, she doesn't seem that villainous. She just wants to win.
the way the movie portrays her,
But
not
yes,
like,
yeah. She is portrayed as a villain, even though I think it's very obvious that she's not, and that she's, you know, she's a teenager and he's an adult man. But yeah, that movie was good though. I would watch it again at some point. I watched Blue Velvet, which I don't know if I had seen all the way through, so it was great to watch that. That movie rules.
That an Elvis movie?
That is a David Lynch movie with
Oh.
Dennis Hopper and an ear and murder and Isabella Rossellini, and yeah, it was great.
Man, Blue Velvet's
Yeah.
like one of the best Lynch movies. Lynch has a very he's very good at villains, and I think like the Frank Booth character is one of his best villains, and I think like him and Hopper kind of magical like in that movie. Like I don't know, the chaos, like the just the I mean it tackles like a theme that Lynch kind of used in all of his work, where it's like I think in the very beginning of the movie you have like all this these idyllic kind of white picket fences, blue skies.
And then it goes through the dirt.
Yeah, and it and like underneath of all of that normalcy is this like horrible society that like nobody knows about. And like I don't know. I think it's also one of his most accessible movies. Like I think like you don't have to be like deeply versed in like Lynchian stuff to get Blue Velvet. I think
Yeah,
like
it's pretty straightforward. Like it's, I mean, it's all really dark, and I could see how, like, if you went into the movie based on the poster, which is just Kyle MacLachlan embracing Isabella Rossellini with blue velvet behind them, you would not expect the movie you get.
Have you
The
ever
Ebert
seen the
review.
Italian poster?
Oh.
No.
Google the Italian poster. It's very provocative, and it also is referencing a scene that's not even in the movie anymore, but it's like it's a great poster, but it's like it looks like a fucking like exploitation movie the way that they made that poster.
Oh yeah, no shit.
When to Sean's point,
Roger
yeah,
Ebert's
Roger Ebert.
review of his review of Blue Velvet made it sound like he like finished typing and drove over to David Lynch's house and shot him. It made it
Yeah,
sound like he makes it sound like it's a Serbian movie, or like the movie called a Serbian movie, not just any random Serbian movie. Like it's like this like abject piece of absolute trash, and everybody should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, and he like basically said that like he basically like I think he even uses the word like he basically rapes Isabella Rossellini because of all the stuff that he makes her do in this movie. And then like I don't know, it's one of those things where like obviously like you know there's a lot of dark subject matter in the movie, but like everyone has nothing but glowing things to say about David Lynch. And not that
Yeah.
it matters, but him and Rossellini were like dating at the time when that movie came out. Like I don't know. There's always like a lot of dark things in David Lynch movies and a lot of nudity and a lot of violence, but like he's always been like, I mean, unless there's stuff that just hasn't come out, like there's all he's always been portrayed as like a super gentleman on set and like.
I mean, there can't be anything because like everybody has worked with him, continues to work with him, and all they talk about is how much they love him. When he died, it was like essay after essay after
Yeah.
essay
Yeah.
from women that worked with him.
Yeah, at most
Yeah.
it seems like he's just too much of like he was just too much of kind of a very sort of routined person where like he just like I meditate for these hours and I write for these hours, so he couldn't like have relationships with people in conventional ways because he
Yeah.
wasn't that way. But
And he's also
yeah, I
like
mean.
some kind of autistic, you know what I mean? Like he was very like I imagine it's probably he was probably not the easiest person to be around 24/7, but like as far as his
Terrible
work
father.
as far as
Right.
his like working, you know, his working ethic, no one ever said anything like he wasn't, you know, abusive or anything to people on set.
Yeah. But yeah, like I mean, Blue Velvet is excellent. It's very dark. It's like harsh, but there are just amazing images in it.
Oh, yeah.
What's the shoot? Now I can't remember the actor's name. The guy they go visit who he's got like the white.
Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
It's what's that guy's name? Dean Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell, yeah.
You know,
That
I have
whole
a
Ben scene is just
TJ has the
so
tattoo. I
powerful.
have a tattoo of that on my leg, yeah.
Right on.
But
Yeah. Because that scene is just like, it's the most unnerving thing because there's all these people hanging out, just like sitting in this weird, you know, paneled basement sort of thing. And like,
yeah.
it's clear that Ben is as dangerous as Frank or more, but in a different way. It's just cool.
Candy-coated clown. Candy-coated clown. Also, like one of the greatest lines ever, and one of the funniest, like
class discrepancy kind of lines where, like, he asks Kyle MacLachlan what kind of beer he drinks. He's like, "Oh, I like Heineken." It's like, "Heineken, fuck that shit. Pabst, Blue Ribbon." Oh, I mean, that's like one of the greatest things ever. I fucking love that shit. Also, you want to talk about a marketing snafu? How Pabst has never run with like a Frank Booth can? Come on, they should have had a Frank Booth can. I mean, Narragansett has like Quint cans. They should have had a Frank Booth can.
Where they got like the oxygen tubes on the side of the can.
Right.
Him fucking huffing on that goddamn oxygen is so fucking terrifying. Like, I don't know.
Nate, have you ever
Also,
seen?
talking about Silent Hill 2, that whole scene where Kyle MacLachlan's stuck in the closet, that is a in Silent Hill 2 when James is stuck in the closet looking at the mannequins, that is a direct callback to that.
Nate, have you seen Mulholland Drive?
Yeah, not in
Oh,
a
yeah.
while, but I'm actually planning to rewatch it here this week, so.
I sent TJ a list. It was like some snooty magazine's best film performances of the century or whatever, and Naomi Watts was number one for Mulholland Drive, and I don't know that I can argue that.
I have a hard time arguing with that. She's incredible in that movie. I mean, I think that's his best film. Like, I
Yeah,
love
it
that
seems to
movie.
be the
It may
consensus.
be the best movie ever made. Like,
Yeah,
if you throw Citizen Kane out, like it's in the conversation, I think, like, without hyperbole, one of the greatest movies, especially American movies ever, period.
I agree.
I also watched David Lynch's Dune from
Oh yeah.
1984,
Hell yeah.
which I love. It's not a good movie. I think it's like it just. You can see how it should have been 4 hours long, and it might have been a way better thing. It would still be
Yeah.
not great, but it would be way better. But it's still fun. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fun to see the take. It's fun to see like the Lynchian stuff. Like Lynch's cameo in it as like the spice
Oh man.
mining driver guy is great. I don't
Also,
know.
the designs in that movie are incredible.
The
Like
Navigator looks awesome. I feel
yeah.
my big bitch with that movie is it feels very like front loaded.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah,
and
no,
like it's been cool.
they kind of voice over so much of the last 30 minutes where they're just like, and then this thing happens, and we'll cut to this scene where people talk for 3 minutes and then more voiceover. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the pile of movies like what's the movie that we all liked with Pacino? Cruisin'. It's like
Jack and Jill.
yeah, Jack and
We did
Jill.
all kind of like Jack and Jill.
Pacino. No,
It's
like
dumb.
Cruisin' is a movie where it's like it's a shame that you will never get to see like the real freaking version of that movie. And it's like with Dune, it's like we'll never get to see like the actual Lynch cut because like it's like so many other movies from that period, like that cut like doesn't physically exist. Like that when they
Yeah.
cut those movies, they like destroyed the film. It's just fucking insane. But there's also like speaking of that, this is one of those things that's like you wish you had a time machine, but there's actually a cut of Eraserhead that Lynch screened one time and he wasn't happy with it, and he literally took the reel and cut it up. So like there is a It's like 15 or 20 minutes longer, but there's a cut of Eraserhead that you will never see. He screened it one time. So it's
But
like one of those.
it's like that, like, the guys that saw the Sex Pistols play at a liquor store one
Right.
time. Everyone who's of a certain age has seen that particular cut of that showing of that movie that
Yeah,
probably 10 people saw.
there's a book that I have. I there's like a David Lynch, like I used to have a bunch of these. It was just a paperback book about a director, and it had like his whole filmography, and it had like,
I've got
critical.
your Shinya Tsukamoto one.
Yeah, I had a
I
Tsukamoto
still have it.
one. I have a Takashi Miike one. I had a Lynch one. I had a Tim Burton one. But there's a photo in that book that shows there was a scene originally in that original cut of the movie where David and Mary go to get the baby from the hospital, and there's a picture of it. And it's like it's just one of those things. As like a diehard Lynch fan, it's like, man, I wish I could, it's probably not better than the version that we've seen, but like it'd just be cool to see it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, I'm kind of on a just Lynch completionist kick right
I
now,
mean,
so
yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna keep working through them all.
he's my favorite director. Like, I don't know. And I've talked about this with Sean a bunch since he passed. Like, he's like one of the few like celebrity deaths that really hit me hard. Like, I don't know. I was like such he's such a big
Yeah.
influence on like my love of movies and like,
And
I don't know,
video
just
games that we love and other mediums that
yeah,
also
like
love David Lynch that kind of carried it on. I know I've
yeah.
said it probably a couple times on here, but I say it to TJ all the time. The world feels like a less magical place without David Lynch in it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
because
agree.
movies like this won't happen anymore. Like, they're unlikely to happen generally.
Well,
There's
that, and
not a voice like this.
I feel like people that like try to copy his style, they get the wrong, they copy the wrong things, and they miss what makes David Lynch movies David Lynch movies.
Well, I think
And
it's a thing where it's like, I don't want to make a weird comparison, but it's like a Junji Ito thing where like the person making this is like very wholesome, and it's
yeah.
not an act. You know what I mean? Like that's a
No.
very, it comes from a very kind of like, he's like a good old kind of like Montana country boy by way of Philly, but there's just weird shit going on in his head. But I don't think he's like a dark or edgy person by nature. I mean,
No.
we've all heard
No, he's
the
like a
"I had
milkshake
two
guy.
chocolate chip cookies today and a Coca-Cola. It was wonderful." Like, that's him. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Dune's fine. It's worth watching. I
Nick, you ever
watched.
seen
Go
What
ahead.
Did Jack Do, his
Oh, I
25-minute
love it.
Netflix movie? Yeah.
I haven't. No,
I
I'm gonna have
think
to
it's
check that
still on
out. Fun.
Netflix. You gotta watch it. It's
Okay.
great. It's
Nice.
just him interviewing a talking monkey for 25 minutes. It's wonderful.
I think one of my favorite things about watching David Lynch movies is seeing Jack Nance in all of them too,
Yeah,
in just
RIP.
different iterations, and kind of going like, oh shit, like that guy aged fast
Well,
from all the alcoholism and
he had
everything.
a, if you ever want to watch a really depressing documentary, there's a documentary, it's kind of hard to find, but it was called What Happened to Jack, and it's all about Jack Nance, and like he died under kind of mysterious circumstances, and like I don't know, it's just
Yeah,
very,
I
I
was reading
remember.
about like he had just like his wife was like relapsing and he couldn't get a call from her because he was shooting a movie and she committed suicide and then he like spiraled right after that, like
And he got
lots of
like
bad stuff.
he got in some kind of physical altercation at like a Dunkin' Donuts, and then like died later from complications of that. It's just like it's very, I don't know, the whole
Yeah.
thing. And I love Jack Nance, and my favorite Jack Nance appearance is in the Suicidal Tendencies video institution. He plays the dad in that video, and it always makes me
Aw.
laugh when but anyway.
The next thing I watched was Together. I wanted to see, because you shat on it, TJ. I wanted to
Hey,
see.
what'd you
I think
think?
it's like it's okay. Because
Yeah.
the first two-thirds of the movie could be something that would be
Yes,
fine.
I agree.
And at worst, I want to call it mid-Somar because it's still dealing with the same thing. Like, my parents died under these sad circumstances, and I'm dealing with that, and what are we going to do? But then it's like, oh, the last 20 minutes, we're just going to go, oh, there's a New Age church. We're not going to explain anything about what happened to that church that was around when this guy
And
was.
it apparently like fell off the side of a mountain or
Yeah,
something,
like
like
fell in the hole. It fell into the
right.
well that the magic water is in. But
Yeah.
like the guy that's from the church who's already merged is maybe in his 40s. And
Yeah.
we're to believe somehow that the church disappeared completely from people's awareness within
Yeah,
like
I
5 minutes of him merging because it's not like the
yeah.
video. I don't know. It's just it does the thing where it's like, oh, here's your horror twist. And it ruins the movie because it was more interesting as something that didn't have an answer
Yeah.
or something that you put way more information
Well,
onto, but where it's left is dumb.
I've said this a thousand times. If you have a really dumb premise, like what's the Jordan Peele movie I hated? Us, where everybody's got like a duplicate that lives underground and they're doing the same thing you are, but underground. Like that shit is so dumb. Like don't explain it. Like that together is the same thing. Like that premise is kind of dumb. So abstract it, make it more open-ended so like the audience can kind of infer what happened. But when you explain it away, you're like, oh, well, that's fucking
Well, and
stupid.
they don't even really explain it. They just give you enough to go like, oh, I guess that's it, but I still don't know why, like why anybody would do this. I don't understand it. So, plus the thing that really bothers me is the entirety of the movie is like these two people do not belong together. They fundamentally are not in a good relationship.
Totally
And
agree,
the ending is supposed to be like, oh, they triumphed by saying that they love each other, so they're going to merge into this like sort of
they merged into, they turned into Justin Long at the end of
yeah, like this
the movie.
strange creature. And the big issue too is, okay, the movie ends on that thing answering the door when her parents are coming to visit them.
Right.
I want to see the movie play that shit out. Like, how are
Right,
her parents reacting to the fact that she no longer exists? Like, neither of them exist anymore. It's It's just I think the movie thinks
Also,
we all
what did you?
like Alison Brie and Dave Franco so much and believe in their relationship on a like real life level so much that it's going to carry more cachet than it has.
Also, how did you feel about Dave Franco's acting? Because I thought he was just awful in the
He's
movie.
I mean, the thing is like he's fine in some scenes, but he's generally like he's just doing the squinty Dave Fran or James Franco thing where it's like I don't actually have range, but if I squint and like curl my face up a little bit, you're gonna believe I'm sad. Like, I don't know. It just it doesn't it doesn't explore the things that it sets up that are interesting, and then it ends with a bunch of non-answers. But the fact that they dance to Two Become One by the Spice Girls at the end too, which is just so like
It's so,
it
well,
just
it's
it
almost,
makes the movie unserious. It's
it's
like,
like
hey,
played, it
the joke's
well,
on
it's
you.
again, like the tone of that movie is a mess too, because that whole merger scene is played for like laughs, and it's like it doesn't really work because like 10 minutes before that they're like sawzalling their arms off, and it's just like what am I supposed to think? Like I don't understand. Like
Well,
I.
yeah, and we're supposed to be scared that like the other couple that was hiking that fell in there, like they turned into a weird monster that didn't merge to, like there's just not enough
Oh
explanation. So
yeah,
yeah, it doesn't.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, that was fucking stupid too. Like they were like half merged for reasons I don't know. Like
Yeah, because I guess they didn't accept each other, which is just, I mean, but this is the thing. It's like that's such a toxic message to give people. Like, unless the point is supposed to be the greatest horror of all is having to merge with a person you're not actually happy with, which I guess that would be interesting, but they
which
don't
is
explore that.
interesting, but they don't explore it. And again, like their relationship is so bad, like from the jump, you're like, these people don't belong together at all. Like Dave Franco is like a fucking slacker that doesn't have a job and just wants to play guitar and like doesn't want to be in the relationship. Like Alison Brie proposes to him and he's like, oh, I guess so. Like, what the fuck? What the
He
fuck?
makes the most embarrassing, awkward party non-answer to a proposal.
Also, like I said it when I talked about the movie. How they like they move from the town and they have this baller ass apartment and then they buy a house on Alison Brie's teacher salary. Like, how is this happening? Like, I don't like I
Yeah, they buy a house in the woods after moving out of Seattle. But they're also 2 hours away from the city, and nobody comes to visit them. Like it's just weird how little the movie cares about. It's just bad. I also watched Blade Runner 2049 again.
Oh, banger.
I know that we were just saying Mulholland Drive might be the perfect movie, but I think Blade Runner 2049 is also the perfect movie. Like I love it.
A movie
Guess
so
they're
good.
both the best movie ever.
A movie so good, you allow it to have what's his name, Jared Leto in it, because you're like, oh, that's fine. He's fine
It's
in it.
fine. He's playing a creep.
Does it hurt your feelings watching it again, knowing that was supposed to be David Bowie?
Yeah, that
Yeah,
sucks.
well,
That would have been
I
great.
mean, it would have been infinitely better if it was Bowie. I think the only thing that doesn't hold up otherwise is like the CGI of Rachel doesn't look very good now, and it's only been a few years, but that's
I
just
mean,
how quick this
I
shit
didn't like
goes.
it. I didn't like it at the time. I was like, I just, it's just like, it's not quite as bad as like the fucking Grand Moff Tarkin that's in Rogue One, but it's the same problem. Like, just hire a.
You can get there just getting somebody with a wig, shooting them from the back. I don't need to see her face. I get it, you know?
Because we can read Harrison Ford's face, and he's acting his ass off in that movie too, which and it's just, I mean, the older I get, the more relevant this movie becomes because it's just about like seeking meaning and purpose in your life and like trying to figure out what you're there for. And it's so like Kay's whole thing of just like, oh, I'm not here for anything, and none of the things that I have cared about, including joy, actually exist. I have to go do one good thing to redeem the
Well,
fact that I've been a piece of
he
shit.
does end up having a soul after all of that, though, which is like, I guess, like if you want to assign a soul to anything, like you would say that he has one by the end, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well,
I think that's
he
what.
earns it in the way that Lisa Simpson talks about in the Bart Sells His Soul
Well,
episode, where, you know.
I think we've talked about this movie a bunch on the show, but my favorite scene in that whole movie is when he meets up with like the replicant, like underground. And they're like, oh, you thought you were the one. Like, you're not. Like, I think that was like so fucking powerful. Like, that shit is like, you know, because it's such a gut punch. Because, like, as the audience, you think he's the one too, because you're following along. And when she's like, oh, no, we all thought that. It's not you. Like, I thought that
Well,
was
I mean,
incredible.
how good is Dave Bautista as Zapper? It's like you've never seen a miracle before. Like, how heavy is that fucking opening?
Yeah,
But
like it's just
let's
all the
calm
lines
down
are
with
good.
Gog saying he's the best part of the movie. That's a
No,
little
but he is
insane.
that scene is excellent. Like, it's an excellent movie, and that performance is really good, but no, he's not the best part of the movie.
I love that movie. That movie is incredible. I've watched that movie a ton. Like, it's fantastic.
The best performance in the movie, honestly, might be Love. Like, she's doing a
Yeah.
lot of fucking work in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah. So yeah, Blade Runner 2049 rules. The last thing I watched before the tabled thing is I watched Wolfman.
Oh, I wanted to watch that. I think, did somebody on the show watch it? I feel like, Alec, did you watch it?
Yeah, I
Somebody
watched
watched
it.
it. Yeah, I
It's
saw some.
fine.
It's
I don't
not
know.
nearly as good as Invisible Man.
Yeah, I loved Invisible Man.
Yeah,
That was
it's
shit.
kind of like I think it's supposed to be an allegory for like generational violence. That he's got a dad who's got a temper, and then he has a temper, and then they're both wolves
Boo-hoo,
kind of
we all
thing. Like
do.
it's, I don't know. I think most of it is it's not interesting horror. It's like it's just a lot of chasing, but it
Yeah.
never feels that tense to me. There are some cool visuals. I think that like some of the transformations when it switches to the perspective of the guy transforming to
That's
what he
the
sees, and you're getting like glowing
dude.
eyes and things.
It's the dude from Upgrade, right? Isn't he the like the wolf man in that? Lee
No.
Winnell. Oh, I thought he
Yeah,
wrote
no,
it.
Lee
Oh, he
Winnell
directed
directed
it. Oh,
it.
he
Yeah.
directed it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because Upgrade, I as soon as I saw his like I saw the trailer and I wasn't that interested in it, but like I mean he directed Upgrade and I fucking that is like a buried gem. I will always bring that movie up. I think that movie is fucking fantastic.
But yeah, well, it was fine. I don't think it's a bad movie, but it's definitely in that like five range where I don't
Yeah.
know how much I'll think about it after another couple of days, and I haven't really thought about it much. It's like it's beautiful at times, but it's also just yeah, it's just like chasing people around for an hour and 40 minutes, and that's not that compelling.
I don't know when Hollywood's gonna realize, like, just give up on the Wolfman. Because, like, you guys remember that Wolfman movie that came out? God, was it Benicio del Toro? It was like 10, 15 years
Yeah.
ago. It was
Oh
fucking
yeah,
awful.
you know who directed that?
Jack Nicholson? No, that was a different
Jack
Wolfman movie.
Nicholson
That
was in one called Wolf
Wolf,
in the
yeah.
early
No,
90s.
who
Jack
did direct?
Nicholson direct any Wolfman movies? No, it
Who
was
di
directed by the guy who directed Captain America,
Oh,
the first Avenger, and
Joe.
also I think
The Iron
maybe
Giant.
the Rocketeer.
Oh, the Rocketeer.
Oh,
Yeah,
Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston. Yeah, I
Yeah.
didn't realize he directed them.
And the last thing is the tabled thing. Did we talk about the tabled thing?
Yes, we watched Macon Blair's The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was very, it's very much what it set out to be. Like, it's very campy. It's very silly, full of like fifth grader humor. It's super violent. Like, one point, Toxie literally, like, it cuts to this guy's asshole, and Toxie pulls the guy's guts out of his asshole, which I was dying. I thought that was great. It's not a remake as much as it's like a re-envisioning, because it's not about like Stanley Ipkiss. He's not like a dweeb that can't get laid. Like, this movie is about like how like our medical system sucks. Like, that's what the movie is about.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. A lot of people I've seen were a little hard on like the CGI and stuff, but like you could tell it was a movie that was done on the cheap. And I don't know. To me, it was like I had a good time with it. I thought Peter Dinklage was fun. I love the over the top violence. Like, to me, this fits right along with like Turbo Kid, with fucking Psycho Goreman, with VFW. Like, it's that new era of like B movie that's like hyper violent and silly, but like knows it's hyper violent and silly. I don't know. I had a good time with it. I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I think it's like, honestly, I think it could have been more violent, more like
Yeah, if I
I
had
almost
one.
wanted like a montage, because there's
Yeah.
one sequence like where the guts through the asshole scene is, like we sort that sort of opens the movie as Toxie fighting bad guys, and then I wanted like give me a montage of
More
this.
of
I want to
that, yeah.
watch more gore happen. I want to watch more like jaws get ripped off with radioactive mop head and stuff. But it didn't really do that. I think it's paced a little weird at
It
times.
takes in my one big complaint about the movie that keeps it from being like an 8 or a 9 is it takes kind of too long for him to get to be Toxie. Like, the movie it The movie has weird pacing problems where, like, the beginning of the movie takes way too long. And then, like, I wish it would have just kind of opened with him being toxic. Like, you could have montaged the whole, like, brain cancer thing and all that and his kid and all that. Cause, like, I feel like it takes a little too long to get there. But once it gets there, it's a lot of fun. And then I love, like, the weird assassin rock band. And then Elijah Wood's like, not a rock band, it's Monster Core or
Yeah, they're
whatever.
Monster Core. Summon the nuts.
Also, speaking of things that I wanted more in the movie, I wanted more Elijah Wood. Like, he's barely in the movie, and he's
Yeah.
great. Like, when he shows up, he's fantastic. He plays like this henchman to Kevin Bacon, and I wish it was almost reversed, because I thought like Elijah Wood was great when he showed up, and Kevin Bacon's good in the movie, but like, I don't know, he doesn't have the. I just like Elijah Wood a lot, I guess. Like,
Yeah, because I mean, Kevin Bacon plays like weaselly, health influencer, grifter guy well. But yeah, Elijah
yeah.
Wood would have been more fun to have more in the movie. I think it's also like it spends a lot of time dealing with Jacob Tremblay's character to make us feel the connection between father and
Yeah.
son.
And I didn't really
And
need it.
yeah, it's kind of like
I didn't really
we could
need
have
it.
hand waved that a little more and it would have been just fine. But yeah, I think
Yeah.
it's great and I'm excited to watch it another time because I think it's just going to grow in my esteem the more I watch it.
I mean, I'm just glad we got to see it, because like Sean and I have been talking about this movie for years. This movie's been done in the can for like
Well,
2 years.
it felt like it was a movie made specifically for us. It's like, oh, it's a trauma film remade by Macon Blair. Here you guys go.
Yeah, and
Stop bitching about everything.
Macon Blair shows up in the movie, and he has a fun cameo a couple of different times. At one point, I really liked it. At the very end of the movie, there's a very winky scene where like they're cheering Toxie in the hospital, and Lloyd Kaufman is standing next to Macon Blair, and he's like, "This is all bullshit. I hate this. This is not good." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, I thought I did a pretty good job." Like, I don't know. I thought it was very funny. I was like, all right, that was cute. I enjoyed it. Also, the town's name isn't Troma, but like every time you see the town name, the like letters are like warped away, so it just says Troma, which
Yeah, it's
I don't
like
know.
St. Roma's Lake or something like
Yeah,
that.
I don't
Yeah.
know. I
Yeah.
really enjoyed it. Again, like, this isn't a movie that's like gonna go down in the annals of like B movie history, but it is very fun. Like, again, it's not as good as Psycho Goreman, but like, it's a good double feature with Psycho Goreman.
Yeah, it was great.
I enjoyed it.
Sean.
I watched a bunch of Shameless, and I've been watching the tracker to see whether or not the president's alive. But besides
Oh,
that,
that, in the words of Mac from It's Always Sunny, that bitch is dead.
oh yeah,
He's
or
fucking
damn
dead.
near.
Yeah, he's dead. They keep showing pictures of him, and those pictures are like years old. And like, I because the Trump admin doesn't understand how the internet works.
They're gonna do the what did Jack do thing with him, and just put his head up there and have somebody talk through his mouth like the fucking Clutch
No,
Cargo deal.
they're gonna do the fucking old like Conan thing where it's just
Yeah, it's the
Trump's
same
mouth.
bit. Yeah. I took my mom to see Fantastic Four. So
Yeah.
before I talk about it, I'll give it my mom's rating, which is, her scale goes from come and see, which is a movie she'd not care for, to the best movie ever made, which is every other movie she's ever seen. So my mom
Wait,
thinks this
come and
is
see the war movie?
yeah.
Shoot, your mom saw Come and See. That's
Yeah, I was
crazy.
watching it, and she was like, she wants to sit down and watch a movie with her son.
I mean, and this is the best time, I guess.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's a crazy movie to
least it's short. She didn't care for it. She's a nice lady. But so, according to my mom, Fantastic Four is the new champion of the best movie ever made. I had
Hell
more
yeah.
significant issues with it.
Good. We'll stick with your mom then.
I think before I start, I want to say I think all the performances in this movie are very good. I think Vanessa Kirby is excellent in this movie. Like, I think she brings a lot of like, she's bringing something. She's got like an edge to her. Like, specifically,
Yeah.
I remember when she's like, "Johnny, kill that thing." Like,
Yeah.
you know, my bitch with the movie is, and I'm not a Fantastic Four person, so maybe I'm wrong, it's just that like the overall plot and the resolution of same are really fucking stupid. First, just from like a storytelling, like a craft standpoint, I don't know if you gain anything from having her give birth to Franklin over the course of the movie, and I think it might actually like worsen the movie overall, because like, you don't really see her struggle with being pregnant very much. She just kind of has the baby, and then you're stuck with that goofy looking baby. And then Galactus is like, "I need that baby." And everybody goes, "No, you can't have the baby because we love him. He's been on screen for 15 minutes." You know what I mean? Like, I get
Yeah, I
that
don't.
time has passed in the movie, but the way it's structured, like, I'm not attached. I don't give a fuck about that baby. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
I
Like,
mean, it might have been better off if Franklin was like a child.
two,
Like,
yeah.
yeah. I don't disagree with that.
And like, that read like you know in the comics, at least the ones that I've read, which are few again, it's like the Hickman run and like the that one where Valeria's like dooms like fucking nanny cam and he's like looking through her or
Oh
whatever.
yeah.
I forget, that's Mark Waid maybe.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
You know, Reed's got every permutation of every single thing ever figured out, and his like big plan is like I'll just teleport the Earth, which he's done with an egg. Like he never even like checks the egg to see if it's okay. He just knows that it looks like it works. So it's like I can do this with the whole Earth somehow. And then it's like, well, everybody's got to shut off their lights because I guess like the global power grid is hooked to a giant battery for some reason. And then it's like everybody keep their lights off, and then we'll all turn it on. And then they get Galactus with the piece of candy trick. Like that's their big plan, is to throw the baby in like a fucking stroller, and he's gonna walk over there and get it. Like structurally, this movie's a fucking mess. Like it's not good. I like the art design a lot. I think that shit's really cool, but like I don't know if it's just because they've overworked and underpaid the CGI artists anymore. But there's a scene where Ben is on screen with Slums of Beverly Hills, what's her name? Natasha Lyonne.
Natasha Lyonne, yeah.
It looks fucking atrocious. I'm like, this looks really bad and super distracting. Like I said, I think the performances are good. I think the overall plot is bad. I think the structure of the movie is bad. It's like a six. At least it's short. I don't know, man. Like, I think Marvel's, they just need to stop at this point. Like, I know it didn't make like a ton of money comparatively. It's a better of the movies that they've made recently, but it's still not very good. Like it's better than the other Fantastic Four movies, but again, not saying a whole lot. And like, I don't want to bring all the science into it, but they're supposed to be the science people. And it's like, hey, I figured out this one sentence, so I've reverse engineered her entire language. It's like, that's not how that works at all. So I was just like, there's just too many threads for me to pull on in this. And like, it's like taking me out of the movie. Again, I don't get the point of her being pregnant for it because they make some throwaway like, "You're the first pregnant woman to blah blah blah," and she's like, "I know that." And then it's like, "I want that baby for reasons." Just, I don't know, man. Like, it's like they're trying to put too much shit in it, or I don't know, man. Like, it's just it has problems, I think, that are pretty significant. And like, I wanted to enjoy it more. I thought the banter was good. I thought Pedro Pascal is like excellent as Reed. Like I said, Vanessa Kirby, I think, is really good. I like the interaction between Johnny and Ben. Herbie's cool. Like I'm a sucker for like a clanky,
Yeah,
cute robot. But
Herbie was cool. I liked
I
Herbie a
think
lot.
like
Yeah.
I think overall it's not a very good movie. I think it's like kind of a mid movie. And I mean, I know that's probably not like a super popular opinion on this show, but like
I really liked it. You didn't like the Galactus parts? I thought Galactus was really cool.
I didn't like he felt again felt kind of dumb. Like he's like this omnipotent god being. And it's like, let me slowly walk across here to pick up this baby instead of being like, I'm going to stand here and blow up your planet until you bring this thing to me. Like, why would he ever just go, clank, 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 let me walk over there? And it's like, oh, you almost got me. And I'm not clear on Sue's powers. Again, I'm not a Fantastic Four person, but I guess she can control the whole light spectrum. Is that what's going on? Because she like has like super telekinesis, or I don't know what, but it's like, you know, he's so quick to be like, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. I don't know, man. Like, it's too big of a threat for like this part of the movie. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it, but like, it didn't work for me, like, structurally. I think his plan to teleport to Earth is very stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's very, I feel like the plot is very, like the whole movie is very 60s like comic book, and even I feel like the plot is very 60s comic book. The teleporting the Earth thing is silly, but at the same time, like they're on a ticking clock, so like he's trying to, you know, do something. It,
But
like
like,
he
Wouldn't you expect him to take, like, I got some samples and maybe we can see what's going on with his armor or whatever. His like immediate thing is we got to teleport to Earth. That's the only thing we can do. It's like, whoa, bro. Like,
Yeah,
we
I mean,
tried nothing and we're all out of ideas.
I mean, fair. I don't know, but on also like on a story level, then you have the Silver Surfer blowing up all those things, so like you need the Silver Surfer to show off.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's not bad. Like, I don't think it's a terrible movie, but like, I think it's like, I don't know. Like, besides the actual dialogue, I think the writing in the movie is really bad.
All right, anything else, Sean?
No, that was it.
All right. Well, now we get into the conversation. Francis Ford Coppola is the conversation. And I'm just going to start off by saying that, like, Coppola wrote and directed this. And I, the whole time, I'm like, this is the same guy that wrote and directed Megalopolis. Like, I know I'm the only person on the show. Well, Sean's watched parts of it. But, like, how does that happen? Like, I don't, like, this guy is made like he,
Hubris, TJ, is the answer. Like, that's why I was telling TJ and Rags, Alec, before you got on here. Like, maybe we should do this with athletes too. But when somebody's on like a Linsanity run, the first time they stumble, you should just execute them so they don't live to disappoint you.
Like he co-wrote the Godfather movies, right? And I don't think he wrote he I think he co-wrote Apocalypse Now too. Like the guy can obviously write. And like, I don't know, man. It's just well, he co-wrote oh yeah, he co-wrote Apocalypse Now with Milius and somebody
Yeah.
else.
Well, it's also based on a book too. So like, and Godfather, at least the first one's based on a book. So this is like an original as far as I
Well, I
know.
mean, Apocalypse Now is like barely ba I mean it's based off a book, but like it's you know, it's Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now are like completely
Yeah, I
different.
know, but
But
they
anyway.
would, this movie could never get made right now. Like,
Oh
no
no. No,
shot.
this is I was thinking about my dad watching this movie because he's like my dad classically it has to be funny as hell or scary as hell. And my dad famously hates Tarantino movies because in his words, it's only the movie is all about people talking. And which is a funny way to look at movies, but like this specifically is just about people talking. But like, I think this movie is like oddly prescient to our like current surveillance state. Like,
Well,
oh
it's
yeah.
funny because the movie's not even about the main characters talking. It's about them listening to other people talk.
Yeah. Nate, do you want to do the GOG synopsis for this?
Sure, I can try. So Harry Call is Gene Hackman. He's a surveillance specialist.
Also,
He's
Harry Cole is very close to Harry Balls, and
oh
I
well, also
just.
like a movie about somebody listening to dangerous phone calls. Harry Call is a little on the nose.
Yeah, that is true.
So he's surveilling this park when the movie opens. We're trying to listen to Cindy Williams and Frederick Forrest have a conversation, the titular
The
conversation, walking around in a
conversation.
park, and they're trying to pick it up with like the long range microphones, and there's a guy that's like got a Christmas gift that's bugged that is following them. And he's just trying to piece this all together because he's taken on a freelance gig to hear what these people have to
The
say.
sound design in this movie is excellent, by the way. Like, this whole opening is fantastic.
Yeah, because you feel what you're picking up and what you're not picking up, and you're feeling the way that like the sound of the band that's playing in the park is overpowering them talking, and just the way that like the crowd chatter is happening and the city noise. So they're recording this conversation. They get all of the pieces. Gene Hackman feels pretty good about it, and they feel like they're going to be made by this couple of people. But in the conversation from the beginning, all we kind of know is they're talking about something. It seems like they're probably having an affair,
Yeah.
but it sounds, they sound like two people who are worried for their lives because they say, like, he'd kill us if he had the chance. Is one of the few lines that gets very clearly recorded and played multiple times throughout the film. So Gene Hackman then takes this. He's hanging out with John Cazale, who's great in this movie.
Dude, every time I mean, we've seen him, we saw him on Dog Day Afternoon that we did on the show, but like, it's such a shame that he passed away. What a great
Yeah,
actor.
he made
Like,
like six movies or something and then died, but they're all fucking great. So Yeah, so they're working. Gene Hackman has a warehouse that almost is exactly like the office warehouse from Enemy of the State, where Gene Hackman also plays the
Yeah,
surveillance
actually.
guy who wears a clear trench coat. They are piecing the thing together. You get to really see like the action of mixing and sound mixing through analog ways with reels and multiple channel knobs and everything. So it's got a really kind of cool aesthetic there. They're mixing the thing together. He gets the tape. He's like, "Hey, job well done." And he goes to drop this tape off to the director who hired him for it. And instead, Harrison Ford is there as the director's assistant and says, "Hey, the director's not available, but you can give it to me." So then Gene Hackman's like, "Well, no, I'm not doing that." He freaks out. We kind of later find out that he's got a past where one of the other people he recorded were immediately murdered afterwards, and he's carrying a
And
lot of
his
guilt about that.
and their family. Also, like the movie establishes immediately that, I mean, due in no small part to his job, Gene Hackman is incredibly paranoid. And I think that like something this film does incredibly well, kind of like I was talking about Redemption or whatever that fucking movie I talked about at the beginning, is that it's just this sense of like everyone is out to get Gene Hackman, and like you feel his paranoia like through the framing. Like a lot of times the framing of these shots, everything just feels very tense. And again, there's a it's a movie that doesn't have like a lot of like action per se, but every scene feels like something could happen. Like Gene Hackman is incredibly paranoid the entire time. The interaction between him and Harrison Ford, he's just like, come on, just give it to me. Like I'll give you the money, everything will be fine. And Hackman already knows like something is up. And then it just he's just consumed by what he ha the information that he has. I don't know. It's just I thought like the sense of paranoia that just bleeds through this movie is kind of amazing. Like the tone of this movie, it just thought it was incredible.
Yeah, so Hackman's apartment is like very spare. He doesn't have a lot of stuff. He has a phone, but it's hidden. He doesn't give anybody his phone number. There's like nine locks on his door to his apartment that he goes through meticulously to unlock.
Yeah, and somehow his landlord was able to give him like a birthday card that he doesn't understand. Like, well, how'd you get in here? Like, everyone, he suspects everyone all the time, like, constantly. Like, his life is just like, he's constantly worried about getting made or like something. You know what I mean? And
Yeah,
then his only.
he's always listening to other people, so he's paranoid that other people are listening to him.
Yeah, and his only solace is playing the saxophone to jazz albums, which is a
Yeah,
very
he's a
cute
real
character.
Duke Silver.
Yeah, it's a really cute
But
character quirk.
he also, like, it's funny that he's concerned about people listening to him because he has no, like, actual individual life. Like, you know what I mean? He says, well, I don't care if everything burns down. I don't have anything of value. You know what I mean? Like, the one relationship that we see him have is, like, very empty and, like, kind of perfunctory. So, like, he's, like, super paranoid about being discovered or being watched, but, like, nobody would really have any reason to watch him until later in the movie. And if they did watch him, there's nothing there. He's like a simulacra.
Yeah, because he goes to visit Terry Garr, who is his maybe girlfriend. I mean, obviously they hook up, and he goes there. It's his birthday, and he goes there with a bottle of wine to spend time with her. And they have a very like kind of detached conversation. She doesn't ever get out of bed. He kind of just gets into bed with her,
And he
and we
tells
cut
her not to
away.
ask him any questions. Like,
Yeah,
just like, yeah.
he doesn't want to share anything with anyone.
He has, sorry, Nate, he has the relationship that Chapel has with that lady in that one Youngblood comic. Babe, you know what it is. 6 o'clock, no question.
So yeah, he starts obsessing about this tape. He's trying to figure out what he's missing from it because it's so important. And then there's a surveillance convention in San Francisco that he goes to.
Yeah, also, sorry, Nate. He,
Surveillicons.
yeah, it's Surveillicon. And now he also doesn't share any information with his partner, the actor we just were talking
Yeah,
about,
John Cazale. Yeah.
Fredo. But he won't share anything with him either. Like he's completely like on an island. And then when he goes to the convention, his partner has worked for is started working for like another company. And he's like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, well, you know, you didn't tell me anything. Like you keep me in the dark on everything. Why would I stick around?
Yeah, so he goes to this convention. We get like a cool mid-70s sense of like all the different ways people were bugging each other then, like, oh, here's a special phone bug where you don't even have to pick the receiver up. All you have to do is call and then it starts listening.
Like,
Like,
doesn't it seem like so quaint? It's like, oh, all these mechanical doodads and gizmos that you have to do, and now like any 11-year-old jerk off can listen to all your conversations digitally.
yeah,
yeah, well,
remember
that's the thing, right? Like,
spy
we're all
tech?
Yeah, dude,
Yes.
I fucking ruined my parents' couch with that fucking fingerprint shit.
Yeah, it's like we all carry surveillance devices around in our pockets anyway, so people are listening no matter what. The irony. So he goes to this convention, he starts hanging out with some people. He notices that Harrison Ford is there, and so he has a confrontation with him, and Harrison Ford just is like, "Hey, look, I just want to give you the money. Like, we just want to get this over with. Can we get this over with?" And he refuses. Then he ends up going back to his workshop with a couple of other guys from the show, and I think a sex worker.
Well, again, like she's like, I don't know if like she's like a she's he's suspicious to her too, like right away. Like she's like kind of like a honeypot kind of situation.
Yeah.
And then turns out is. But I love that scene too, because you have all these like guys in the surveillance thing. He's like, oh, I would have done it this way, or I would have done, like the one guy's kind of like a hot shot, and like his character is like kind of known as like he's like the best of the best, but like this other guy's trying to like undermine him. He's like, I would have done it this way, like, and they even go through the scenario and what you see in the beginning of the movie, and he's like, well, I would have done it, this is impossible, and like calls like, no, we did it this way and this way. I thought that was like a cool, that was like a very interesting scene.
But
I
it is funny that he should trust his instincts with that woman. It's kind of like Kash Patel's girlfriend. Of course, she's a Mossad agent. Like, look at her and look at
Right.
him.
Yeah, true.
Like, why else would that woman be around these people?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that like that scene is that whole scene where he becomes the most vulnerable he is in the entire movie because he shares stuff about his childhood and stuff about the things he's afraid of and all these things with this woman randomly. And granted, he's been drinking, but he should know better. And then he finds out that his buddies bugged him with a pen that had a microphone in it. And so they're
Yeah.
making fun of him for being vulnerable. So his only opportunity to become a full person is immediately dashed in that
Yeah.
moment.
Yeah, it's a great scene. Like, also again, like the framing of the whole scene, like this warehouse, like again, it's just like a big empty warehouse, but like the way it's shot, and when he's having the conversation with the woman, they're almost always separated by like these beams in the warehouse. So again, like the framing, the way the characters are shot, very interesting, like very deliberate. It was
There's also a good bit of business that's like kind of underlying the story too. It's subtle-ish, but like he like comes across as like a devout Catholic, and you're talking about like feeling guilty about then people watching you constantly. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? That's
sure.
like kind of a
Yeah.
runner that like informs him of like, I'm like watching these people, but I'm also responsible for them in some way. Because like he had that one job that went bad where people died where he was surveilling them. Like I find that interesting. I assume it's intentional. I might just be bringing my weird Catholic shit to
No,
it.
I think you're right. I haven't thought about
No,
it, but
I
like
definitely
he
think that's
goes
in
to
there. Yeah.
confession in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's gotta be.
Yeah, and like he tells the one guy not to use Lord's name in vain, and then he's got that
Yeah.
very prominent like Mary statue in the windowsill,
Yes.
which he has to destroy later on, which is like a big deal, like when he has to destroy that at the end of the movie because he doesn't want to. So yeah, that's definitely in there.
Yeah. So he sleeps with this lady and wakes up the next day and the tapes are gone. So he goes back to the director's office. Harrison Ford's there. He's like, "Yeah, look, we took them." Or he gets a phone call maybe, but he finds out they took them and they're like, "Look, we still want to pay you, but we just needed the information." So whatever. So he goes back, ends up connecting. We find out that Robert Duvall is the director because we see him in the background.
Uncredited for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Do we ever like, or did I miss it? Do we ever find out what he's the director of, or is this the town situation where he's
I
just
don't.
the director?
Yeah, I think
I
he's
don't think
just
they
the
ever.
director. Because
Yeah, I don't think
even
they ever say.
when the newspaper article at the end that says like executive killed in car crash, like it doesn't give any details about who he's an executive for. So he goes back, he talks to Harrison Ford and the director, and it's basically like they're listening to the tapes already. Gene Hackman becomes immediately paranoid that, okay, now they really think that these two people are in danger because he assumes like they're gonna kill him. And he finds out from back on the tape, Cindy Williams and Frederick Forrest mention a hotel room number. So he decides to go to the hotel and get the adjacent room because he wants to be present because he's feeling this Catholic guilt. He's like, hey, look, I've watched them for long enough. There's also a cool dream sequence that happens sort of in here where he's walking through a very like Ingmar Bergman sort of landscape of dead trees and mist, and he's can't catch up to the girls. But he goes to the hotel and he drills a hole in the wall and listens in to what's going on next door. Nothing happens for a little while, and then suddenly there's a ruckus, and he sees someone bloodied slam against the dividing glass between partition between his balcony and their balcony, and he freaks out, and he kind of just like ends up going to sleep, I guess, because then he wakes up the next day and breaks into the room.
And he flushes the toilet. The toilet is filled with blood, which
It
is
does a
crazy.
shining sort of
Yeah, it's crazy
blood
image.
avalanche situation. And then so he's stricken with guilt. He doesn't know what's going on. He ends up leaving the hotel. He goes back to the director's office. He finds that Cindy Williams is sitting outside in a limo, quietly. Like there's stuff gets a little condensed here
It's
time-wise, like
all,
the way it's edited, where like there's a press, she seems to be leaving, then there seems to be a press conference where she's present. But it's clear that like, hey, all these people work together on this, and they off the director together. So Gene Hackman kind of pieces together like, oh, they were planning to kill him. They were validating that to themselves. And he kind of goes home with his tail between his legs, and then he's just sort of, I think, trying to forget it. He's playing his saxophone, and he gets a phone call, and it's Harrison Ford, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, we're listening to you. We know everything about you, and we're gonna be watching. So just don't mess with us. Just leave it alone. There's nothing to see here." And then he plays back a recording of him just playing saxophone seconds ago in the movie, which prompts like the coolest ending in almost any movie. Gene
And he
Hackman
like
just tearing his apartment apart to try to find where
trying
he's
to
been bugged.
bug. And this is again, this is the guy that like is the master of bugging. So you think he would know, he would be able to figure it out. But he literally like destroys his entire apartment and still can't find it. Like he never finds it. And then the movie ends. That's it. So he's forever trapped in this state of like paranoia where someone's watching him and he's also left with the guilt of knowing what he knows. It's pretty heavy. Like it ends like very heavy. But yeah, I thought the ending was amazing. Like I don't know. I really, really like this movie. And if you
Well,
really think about it, it's kind
it's
of
a
A to
super.
B, but it's very like, I don't know, it's very tense. It's like Gene Hackman's performance is on another level. Like I
I
think
mean, it stresses me out that he's 42 in this movie, and I feel like he looks like he's 67. Like, do we look like that? But
We don't.
it's
That's the nice
yeah.
thing, but.
I hope not. I hope it's not just our own like personal time dilation. But like, I think that one of the things that's like super, there's a lot of things about this movie that I think are super interesting. But this, and like, I think this is, you know, like analogous to our days now is like, you've got this guy, his whole job is to like listen to and observe human beings, but like, he does not understand on a functional level how they operate, what they do, like, what their motivations are. Like,
Totally.
he just like understands them as these widgets that make noises, and like that causes him to not understand what's happening to him at all, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah,
No, I t
it's a movie about like about the power of observation. Like it's kind of about movies in general, right? Like he's not watching people, but he is hearing them and he is just observing them as if none of it is significant. But the movie's all about how, no, there's a lot of deep interiority to all these people, so you can't just listen to 30 minutes and know anything about anybody.
Well, he even says like at the beginning of the movie with the, I forget what the other actor's name, we talked about him earlier, where he's like, well, I don't care what they're talking about. I just want a big fat tape. Like, I just like, or I just need to understand. Like, he is a piece of recording equipment. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have an inner life besides a saxophone and like his vague notion of Jesus. Like, he's just.
Even sorry, Sean, but
No, go ahead.
even in his spare time, think about it, he's performing music to a tape.
Yeah,
So
well,
like
that's, yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, he doesn't
even
have
that
his
is
own creative
synthetic. Yeah, I
instinct.
mean,
He can just mimic something that already exists. Yeah.
that's pretty interesting. Like, I don't know. But yeah, Alec, was your favorite part of the movie the convention of the surveillicon, as you so aptly put it?
So I was reading about Toxic Avenger, and they are contributing $5 million to buy and erase medical debt,
Hell
and
yeah.
for
Oh,
every
nice.
$1 million the movie makes, they're going to buy another $1 million in
That's
medical
awesome.
debt and wipe it out.
That
Well,
rules.
Toxic Avenger doing more for medical debt than the United States government. So thank you, Toxic Avenger and Macon Blair. That's awesome.
He said something about Surveillance. Yeah, man.
What was
Yeah, it
your
was funny.
favorite?
It
Was
was funny.
oh, you hated
Alec,
this
how much did
movie.
you hate this movie?
Oh, you guys are gonna find out what I pick in the next movie.
Oh no.
Oh,
Y'all
shit.
gonna find out real quick.
I've got a question before this turns into the Chris Farley show, if we got time for a question.
Sure, of course.
What would this movie be now? Like, what is this movie in 2025 if it is a mid-budget Hollywood movie, not some like gritty indie movie?
I don't think it exists. I mean, like, you haven't had this kind of. I mean, like, I feel
I mean,
like
War of
we
the
bring
Worlds
this.
is a surveillance movie, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
kinda.
I mean, we bring this movie up a lot, but the movie's 20 years old. But this is like right along with like a The Insider or Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, like that kind of like Sean it has dubbed it like movies for adults. Like, you just don't have this kind of movie anymore.
I think this would be like the girlfriend from Superman. But she's taking like a selfie TikTok video and sees somebody murdered in the background and just discovers it, and then it
Yeah.
opens that up.
But
That's my best guess.
there are like gunfights and shit in this movie that we're pitching, right? Like there are propulsive action scenes or something.
Yeah,
Oh
of course. It'd be
yeah.
kind of
No,
like,
this
what are
this movie
yous?
couldn't be this quiet and like.
Like somebody mentioned Enemy of the State. Wouldn't it be kind of like that?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much it, right? You'd throw
I've never actually seen that movie.
a Will
It's
Smith type
fine.
in.
Doesn't that movie take place in Baltimore? Or
I
like
believe so.
somewhere? Yeah, I
They
think so.
shot it there or
Yeah,
something.
something like that.
It's got like what was supposed to be the next wave of like young hot actors, and
Yeah.
it was not.
All
I was gonna
right.
try to get both, but that was Eagle Eye.
Let's get into
Oh yeah.
Five Knuckle Shuffles, I guess. I'm scared to ask, but Alec, give it a zero and we'll move on.
I'll give it a three.
Better than what I expected.
All right.
Jesus
Like
Christ.
Gene Hackman's R.I.P. Like I like Gene Hackman.
Yeah, and his performance I think is incredible. Like I if he I don't think he won an Oscar for this, but he should have. Like, I don't know what he was up against, but it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, like I don't know, just you know what kind of movies I like, and this is not the kind of movie I like.
Alec, I
Fair.
think we don't like know the kind of movies you like. I think it's a great source of consternation for all of us. I don't want to like put everybody's business out on the street, but oft one of us will pick a movie and text the other one and be like, I hope Alec likes this. Like, I
Is
think
true.
this will be the one he likes.
So
I don't know.
this was nominated for Best Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Sound, and it didn't win any of them. How did this not win Best Sound? The sound design in this
Well,
movie
what
is
one in
ass.
74? That
I don't
that's the
know.
big trick.
I'm just looking at the page for the conversation. Let's see. Academy Awards.
Godfather Part Two.
Oh, well,
Oh,
there you go.
well.
Well.
Oh, Alec, you might get a kick out of this. So I looked it up when you're talking about E.T. and Jurassic Park. So Jurassic Park's still number one. E.T.'s number two. Do you know what the third longest box office run in U.S. history is?
Jurassic Park?
No, that's number one still. Like, I just said that. It's one and three.
Basement rules. Phantom Menace?
No, it's a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh.
The Good, Bad, and the
Oh.
Ugly?
No,
What's the
newer.
one with
Enemy of
Gran
the
Torino?
Yeah,
what's the secret what's the Secret Service one?
It's not that. It's older than that.
What was that movie called?
In the Line of Fire?
In the Line of Fire, yeah, that's
Yeah.
older than
newer,
that? You said newer
not
or
much.
older?
Older than In the Line of Fire, but newer than Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
That's good.
Was it the he was in a Western around then, wasn't he?
It what you're correct.
I can't think of the name of it.
Unforgiven?
It is Unforgiven.
Wow.
Wow.
Another Gene Hackman movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Duck of
Jeez.
Danger.
Yeah, I love that movie. All right, Alec, pass the microphone, my friend.
Nate.
Yeah, this is a 10 for me. I love this movie. This is like the fifth time I've seen it. It's one of those movies that like is in my pretentious movies to recommend to people quiver at all times because I think it's just like really interesting what it does with so little.
This is Nate's L'Age d'Or.
It's I just think it's like TJ said that it's kind of A to B earlier, and it is. It's like it's a very simple movie. Like very little happens, but it's about like the tense psychology of a person whose entire life is built around the idea that they have somehow risen above everybody else, and them finding out that no, in fact, you're still under some people, and that's terrifying and cool. And it's I don't know. I think like all the performances are excellent. It's kind of like it gets a lot of points for me too from a nostalgia standpoint, just because like I like all of the actors in this movie, and it's sort of like oh, like half of them are dead now. Which is a bummer, but it's also cool to see so many great people doing so much great work in just one movie. So yeah, I love it. It's a 10. Sean.
Oh, it's a 10 for me. Like, this is a us movie. This is another, like, the set. Like, I don't want to say movies were better before, but like, this isn't like some underground indie movie. This is a movie made for mass consumption in 1974. You know what I mean? Like, and the vibes are immaculate.
Well,
Like,
it's like when you find out that 2001, when it came out, was the highest grossing film that year. It's just like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just like, it's very crazy.
Like, this year. And like I'll cede my time momentarily because I think we've glazed this movie enough. But like this year for movies, like the best picture nominations, Godfather 2, The Conversation, the Lenny Bruce movie, and The Towering Inferno, the fucking best directing, Coppola for The Godfather, Polanski for Chinatown, Truffaut for Day for Night, Bob Fosse for Lenny, and John Cassavetes for Woman Under the Influence. Like, this
Wow.
is an absolute murderer's row of
Yeah,
cinema this year.
that's crazy.
Fucking best actor, Art Carney beats Albert Finney, Dustin Hoffman, Jack Nicholson, and Al Pacino. Like, shit like this doesn't happen anymore. And I'm glad we have access to it. You know what I mean? Like, because they're, if we were our age, whatever, in 1980, and there'd be so many things we just didn't have access to. Like, those
Yeah, that's
movies are
true.
gone forever.
Yeah,
So,
they leave
like,
the
it's
theater and
nice.
you're not seeing them.
Yeah,
Yeah.
true.
It's nice that we can still see this and reflect and go back to it. Like, I'd like to think that filmmakers would go back and look at this and be like, okay, we can make movies like this, but nobody knows what makes money anymore. And since money is like, and not that money wasn't the motivation to make movies before, but like, it's almost the sole motivation for like widely released movies now. And nobody really knows what anybody likes. It's either content or it's a fucking Marvel movie. Those are like your two options for entertainment. And it sucks. Like every time you see something like this, it makes other movies worse in comparison. So, TJ.
It's a 10 for me. I lo also just want to say real quick, because I used to have this poster, a fantastic poster for this movie. But it's a 10. I mean, I don't know. I think this is like a fucking classic for a reason. I think that Gene Hackman's performance is, I mean, without hyperbole, like one of the best performances I've like ever seen, with a very complicated character. And I don't know, like, I don't mean to keep saying this, but like, it's just like they don't make shit like this anymore. And they don't like this movie, again, it's not like it's not like super deep, but like all of like Gene Hackman's character is very complicated and like very interesting and nuanced, and it doesn't hold your hand with his character. Like there's not a lot of like it like dialogue that like points at like his motivations that much, and I feel like it's all about tone. And again, to sound as pretentious as possible, it's about the filmmaking process. Like this really is like Francis Ford Coppola is like, how can I tell this? Like this movie is told visually so hard, and I feel like that is something that you just don't see that much anymore. And I feel like it's, I don't know, it's a very powerful movie. And again, like just the overwhelming sense of paranoia that this movie is able to instill in you as a viewer is incredible with minimal, I mean, I'm gonna say minimal effort, but like without the usual bells and whistles that like a suspense movie has. Like there's not a lot of like, you know, like suspenseful music, and there's not a lot, like it's a lot of just starkness and just kind of isolation in the way it's shot. Like again, a lot of things are expressed through visuals.
It's
It's a
a
lot of
lonely movie. It f
it's a
you feel
lonely
his
movie. Yeah.
loneliness the whole time.
And it ends on his loneliness, which is brilliant. Like I think this is incredible, and it just makes me like I did like Francis Ford Coppola, like it hit in the head at his winery or something. Like how in the world do you make this and Megalopolis? Like it just doesn't compute. It's like it's so strange, and I know that those movies are what, 40 years apart, 30 years apart. It's insane. Like I don't know. I
I
think
mean,
this.
you know, if you made Patton, Godfather 1, 2, this movie, like nobody can tell you shit. Like, you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying? Like,
I
at
think
what
that's the
point,
thing.
that's why you gotta kill them.
Yeah, I mean, I just think like it's just very like I as like a writer, like I don't know how you write this and then write something as just gaudy and stupid as Megalopolis, which is a movie, by the way, that does nothing but tell you everything. Like there's voiceover in that. That's what makes the movie so bad. There's like no show, don't tell. It's all, it's tell and tell. Like, and the problem is the plot and the characters are bad. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy. Like if you watch those two movies, if you watch this and Megalopolis back to back and didn't tell the viewer, hey, this is written and directed by the same person, be like, what, how is that even, I don't know.
But
It just, I
you know
couldn't.
what's funny? Because Adam Bro or not Adam Brody, Adam Driver is probably like Francis Ford Coppola. All right, that guy made Apocalypse Now and fucking The Conversation. This is gonna be great.
Oh yeah, and
And
I
then
mean,
like The Perb.
I like Adam Driver a lot, but
Yeah.
like he's been involved in some really terrible projects, like that dinosaur movie that he was in last
Yeah,
year.
200 million BC or whatever.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
so, yeah, like he's a great actor, but like, and I mean, he was when he was cast in the villain role in the Star Wars movies, I was like, oh cool, he's cool, he'll do something interesting. And nope, I mean, again, that those movies aren't bad because of him. But like, I don't know. It's just, I feel bad for Adam Driver because I think he's good. Also, he really should get into wrestling so his finisher could be the Adam Driver. I just
There you go.
stand by that.
Up and at 'em.
Up in that.
The budget for this movie was $1.6 million.
That alone is like never gonna happen again. Unless you're
And
like Takashi Miike, who makes like my favorite Takashi Miike quote. What would you do with $30 million? And he said, I'd make
make
30
30
movies.
movies.
Yeah.
I love
But I mean,
that.
I think that's the thing, is like this movie is very small ultimately. Because it's
Oh yeah.
mostly Gene Hackman by himself, and it's occasionally three other actors, but there's not a lot of extras other than that opening scene. There's no set pieces. It's just people quietly sort of contemplating opening up to each other and not opening up. Like it's all about like listening and not listening and not being willing to tell. Like it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just stressful in the best way.
Sean, you're left.
I already gave it a 10, dog. Please listen. I'm begging you to listen.
That's everybody? Did Nate go?
I went,
Yeah,
yeah, we're
Jesus
good.
Christ.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. Alec, what are we watching next week? What are you punishing us with?
Well, you guys get to pick
Oh,
either The Last Jedi
oh no. Wait, who's the
or
thread?
Harrison Ford
Oh, right. Shit, I forgot he was in that fucking movie.
or The Dial of Destiny.
Oh,
Oh, God.
let's do the Dial of Destiny. I really don't want to watch The Last Jedi again. And what's his name directed Dial of Destiny?
James Mangold?
Mangold,
Yeah.
yeah.
So like maybe
Oh.
there's gonna be parts of it that are good.
I love James Mangold.
Yeah, he's
Yeah.
great.
I love
He's
all,
great.
I love both parts of his last name. I love man and I love gold.
Look
Yeah,
closer,
that's
Lenny.
fine with
All right, let's watch
me.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Here's the thing. I'm going to say this right now. It can't be worse than Crystal Skull. It cannot be worse than Crystal Skull. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't
Okay.
think so. I think that's a safe bet. I'll take
Talk
the
about a
under on that.
yeah,
Talk
but
about
what
a
if it's
movie I almost walked out of. That movie.
but
Oh my
what
God.
if it's just like a five? You know what I mean? Like that might even be worse.
I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's
Oh
going to be
no.
fine. I think it's going to be cromulent.
No.
All
All
right.
right.
Next week, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
We contain multitudes.
Maybe I'll play the Indiana Jones video game to hype myself up. I have it installed. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you'll have to tell me how it is. I'm
It's supposed to be
curious.
good. It's made
Fine.
by Machine Games. I mean, they made those Wolfenstein games I really liked. Well, the first two, the third one was really bad, but oh, you already
Before they
played
got
it, Sean?
woke. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well.
Oh.
All
Well, I
right.
think I got Cyberpunk like the same week because it was around
Oh, well,
Christmas. So yeah.
yeah, that's a tough
Yeah.
that's a high watermark to hit.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the
All right.
show. We'll see you next week. And it's gonna be it will be football season next week. That's crazy to think
Oh
about.
yeah.
Oh,
The
you know,
Ravens
what
play Sunday night.
time?
Oh, they play Sunday night, so we'll have to record probably Monday.
Let me look at my schedule real quick.
When does Washington play? Do they play Sunday?
They play 1 o'clock on Sunday. They play the
Okay.
Giants.
I
All
work
right,
late
so
Monday, so we'll have to do it Sunday. I'll just do it while I'm watching the games.
who the Ravens playing? I'm gonna cut all this out of the show, by
The
the
fucking Bills.
way. Ooh, that's gonna
Oh
be a tough
no.
game. It's gonna be a good game.
Oh, no, it's not. It's gonna be a blowout. The Ravens are gonna mop the floor with them.
I like your confidence.
Hell yeah.
The only team that can beat the Ravens is the Ravens.
That is true. You know, you're not wrong. All right, everybody, that's the
Right, boys.
show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Nate, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for
You're
having me.
welcome.
Nate,
You're
come back.
welcome. You're welcome every week
I'll
because
watch Dial of Destiny and try to make it back for next week.
apparently Gogs just doesn't want to be on the show anymore. I don't know.
I mean, his kids had a thing on Labor Day at 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have to Aunt Viv Gogs at this point. All
right, everybody.
right.
See you
Bye.
guys.
Later,
Toodaloo.
Gogs.
Bye.
Dial of Destiny. Oh no.
Have, yeah.